Let's open the Bible to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Today we're going to read part of the story of Abraham. If you remember, I'll review a little bit. We've been going through the Old Testament, looking at some of the people that God was revealing himself to, like Adam and Eve in the very beginning, and also Noah in the time of the flood, and today, Abraham. And what we see is when we look at their lives, and when we read about these men, we actually learn about the gospel. How it is that God can save a man from sin. So let's pray and we'll read. Father, I pray that you would bless your word. Open our eyes and open our ears, that as we would read these scriptures, you would speak to us. Oh, Father, we know that this word that you have spoken is without error, is holy, is true, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, Lord, use your word today to help us, your people, to help those that are lost. Father, we look to you. We pray for your help. Be glorified. Glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. Glorify your holy name. I pray that you would put a guard over my mouth and keep watch over my lips, that today I not speak in error or speak to please men or speak in pride. Lord, help me to speak your words to help your sheep, to help those that you have brought here today in this room. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. We're going to read several verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament to try to get the full picture of Abraham's beginning. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Amen. This verse is when God calls Abraham. Notice in verse 1, his name is Abram, not Abraham. Because at this time, he doesn't know the Lord, but the Lord appears to Abram and speaks to him. And as he follows God, and as he walks with God, God gives him a new name, Abraham. This is his calling. When you call someone, you call their name. Just like the Lord in the beginning, he said, "Adam, where are you?" He was calling Adam. Well, now God is calling Abraham. Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your family, and go to the land that I will show you, a new land, promised land. This is the main point today, that God calls people out of the dark to come to him, to follow him. So everything I'm going to try to teach today, everything I want to show you, is revolving around this one main point, that God will call someone and they must leave the world and they must follow God and trust in God rather than follow the world. Everything in Abraham's life is important for us. We are believers. If we are Christian, if we are saved, it means that our life will be just like Abraham's life. God will call us. We will leave the world and we will follow him and trust in him. So let's read some more verses to try to get the full picture. This verse says, leave your father's house, leave your country, leave your home. Now, why does he need to leave? Turn to Joshua chapter 24. We see one reason. Joshua 24, verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely, Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. So here he says, your fathers, in ancient times, Terah and his son Abraham, they lived beyond the river, beyond the Euphrates River, a great mighty river. They lived in a different land, and they served other gods. Abraham and his family worshipped idols. They served false gods. But God called him to leave this life and to come out of the world that he knew. And he would start a new nation, a new people, the people of God. Abraham is very important in the Bible. Abraham is like the beginning of the people of God, the nation of God. There are a few others before him, but with Abraham, God made special promises that he never made to Noah, that he never made to Enoch. Abraham, we call him the father of the faithful, the first of the believers. From his family, from his seed, God would start a new people, a new nation that did not worship idols, but that would know the true God, and he would bless them. Let's read another verse, this time the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's get some more of the story. Hebrews 11, verse 8, 9, 10, and 16. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where God would take him, but he knew he had to follow. Verse 9. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Where did he live? He lived in a tent. He left his father's home to live in a tent in Canaan with his children, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for a better city, not for the city of Ur of Chaldeans, not for Haran. He was looking for a heavenly city, the city of God, an everlasting city. Verse 16, as it is, they desire a better country. that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. What does Hebrews say? God called Abraham out of his land. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew this. God has called me. God has spoken to me. There is a heavenly city. There is a good land, a good city where God is. That's where I want to live. I don't want to live with my people in the sinful city. I don't want to live in the world. I would rather live in a tent and follow God, trusting that one day he will bring me to my true home. And let's read one more verse in the book of Acts, chapter 7. This verse really helped me as I was studying this passage. Acts chapter 7. Verse 2. Stephen is giving a defense and telling the history of the Jews. And he goes all the way back to the beginning. Acts 7:2. He said, "Hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.' Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living." So before the Jews were in Israel, they were in, Abraham and his family were in Ur of the Chaldeans, in Mesopotamia, beyond the river. Why did Abraham leave? Because God called him. And I think his call from God was very powerful, because this verse, as one preacher has pointed out, verse 2, it says, "The God of glory appeared to Abraham." Have you ever seen God? Have you ever seen God? Abraham, God appeared to Abraham. This was not like a little voice that he heard in his mind, in his ear. This was very powerful. The God of glory, somehow, we don't know how, it's not told to us, but God in history has shown himself to people. With Moses, it said, Moses saw God face to face, like a man talks with his friend. And here with Abraham, it's the same thing. The God of glory appears to Abraham, shows him his glory, shows him, like Saul when he's on the road, he sees the brightness of Jesus Christ, so bright, it's brighter than the sun, and he falls to the ground. The Bible says God dwells in unapproachable light. And I think somehow, whether in a dream, whether in a vision, God revealed himself to Abraham in a very powerful way. And he told him, "Leave your country, leave your family, leave this place, and go to a land that I will show you, a new land. And I will bless you. And if anyone curses you, I will curse them. I will make you a blessing, and in you all the nations will be blessed." He gave him a promise. So this is very important, because it starts, if you go back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12. This is only the 12th chapter of the Bible. We are still in the very beginning. There was Adam and Eve. There was Enoch, there was Noah and the flood. But right after the flood is finished, the very next person we focus on is Abraham. God gives special grace to Abraham, just like he gave special grace to Noah. This was a man that God wanted to save, that God wanted to rescue from a sinful world. And my point in preaching today is this. The Bible says God calls Abraham. And in the same way, God is calling you. You cannot stay where you are. You must not stay in this world. You must not stay with your family. You must not stay with your friends. You must not stay in this society. God is calling you to leave everything and follow Him. That's how He called Abraham, and that's how He will call you. I pray that the Lord will call you and you'll hear His voice like Abraham heard His voice. Now, let me mention something about Abraham, and that is the history. The history is this. With Abraham, he was the first person that God chose in a special way to make this covenant, this promise. And He says to him in Genesis 12:2 and 12:3, these are the promises. I'll make you a great nation. Very great. There's some big nations like China and India and America. But Abraham, from him, from one man, came a great nation, the nation of Israel. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless your family. I will bless the works of your hands. Your life will be blessed. I will make your name great. Everyone will know your name. Everyone will know about your life. You will be famous in all of the world. Leave your land, and I will make you famous. He says, I'll bless those who bless you. Your friends will be blessed. And I'll curse those who curse you. Your enemies will be cursed. And the last thing He says is this, and this is the most important of them all. Verse 3. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Every tribe, every tongue, every people, the people of India, the people of China, the people of Africa, the people of America, the people of France and Britain and Canada, every person is blessed. All in the world, people are blessed through Abraham. That's true. Abraham blessed India. Abraham, through Abraham, came a blessing for China and a blessing for Nepal. Do you know what it is? Jesus Christ. After thousands of years, Abraham had many children. His children had children. Those children had more children. From his family, from his line, from his descendants, came Jesus Christ, the bright morning star, the Savior of the world. It was through Abraham that God sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ blesses the whole world through His life, through His death, through His resurrection. Jesus Christ can bring salvation to America and Africa. He can bring salvation to Russia and China and Japan and India and Assam. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But it started with Abraham. God made the promise to Abraham. So that's the history. That's who Abraham is. But now let's think about the spiritual meaning. And let's get very specific about what happened to him and what must happen in your life. The spiritual meaning of being called out from his country. 3 points. He was called. He left. And God gave him a blessing, a new land, a better life. He was called by God. He left his home, and God gave him a great reward. Those are the 3 points. First, let's think about this. He was called. Verse 1, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, the Lord said, God spoke. God is speaking to a man. This is God searching for man, searching to find a man to give grace. God can use his voice. He can call your name. God can give you an invitation. This is what the Lord does. Everyone, God gives some grace. Every person, God gives some light and some truth and some help, but there are some people that God gives special grace, extra grace, extra truth, a special call, a special invitation. Everyone is invited, but some people God gives a special invitation. And Abraham was one of these men. This is God's grace. This is God's mercy. God doesn't have to call anyone. We are sinners. We cannot demand that God will bless us. God should punish us. God should curse us. God should kill us. But instead, upon some people, God gives rich grace. These are a few people. The world had thousands of people in Abraham's day. Ur of Chaldeans was the beginning of Babylon, a big land with lots of people. India is a big country. China is a big country, a lot of people, just like in his day. But God called one man. He chose one man. This is special grace. And I want you to think about your life. Your life is the same way. Maybe you don't realize. Maybe you don't understand. You are here in my house today for this church meeting. Why are you here? Because God has brought you here. Maybe you're from a different part of Assam. Maybe you're from outside of India. Maybe you're from a different city. Maybe every other Sunday you would go to a different place, but this morning, today, God has brought you here to hear a message from the Bible, a message about Jesus Christ. That means that God is giving you special grace. Many people in Guwahati today, they will not hear the words of God. They will not hear about Jesus Christ. Many people in India today, they will be worshiping idols. They will be following a false religion, a false God. But today, God has given you a special chance to hear His word. It is wonderful. It is so amazing that God would give this gift. Amos, why are you here? How did you get here from Manipur? This is really amazing. It was the plan of God. God chooses to bring people from different cities, from different places, to give them the gospel, to give them the truth. A message. He sends a message to us. He shows us the truth. God is calling men to come to Jesus Christ. God is calling men to leave the world. This is the second point. He must leave. He must go out. Look again in verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country. Go forth." King James says, "Get thee out." There's different ways to translate this word, but it means you must leave. You cannot stay. You must go out. If you stay here, you will die. My will, my desire is that you will leave this country. In the same way, we must leave the world. We must leave sin. We cannot physically leave the world. We cannot get on a spaceship and go into outer space and leave planet Earth. You cannot leave the world. But in your heart, in your life, in your desires, you can leave the world. You can die to the world. You can say no to the world. And this is important. He says these things: leave your country, leave your relatives, leave your father's house, and go to the new land that I will show you. So I want to teach you about this. What does this mean? Leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kinsmen. For the believer, don't you remember when God called you to leave the world? Can you think back and remember the days when you were lost, when you were living in sin? You were in the world, you love the world. The Bible says, do not love the world, but you love the world. You love the nice things in the world. You love the people. You love the treasure. You love the joys. The Bible says, come out, be separate from them, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. Do you remember in your life when you said no? Goodbye, world. I will leave you, and I will follow God. This world is very sinful. Just like Abraham, what was his world? His world was a city full of sin. People were fighting, people were angry, people were hateful. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like all the cities of the earth, man's heart is very bad, full of lies, full of sins, and it was full of idols, statues, and they were praying to them and they were worshiping them. And God says, Abraham, go, leave this place. I'll take you to a new land. Do you remember in your life when God called you to leave all of these sinful things? It's a wonderful day when God tells you to go out from the world and leave everything. Now, think about what this means. It means if you are born in India, God is calling you to leave India behind, to leave Assamese culture behind, to leave, maybe if you are Nepali, to leave being Nepali behind, to leave even your family behind. You have a family, you have brothers and sisters, you have uncles and aunts. God wants you to leave them behind. This is the world. And if they are not saved, they are not going to help you follow God. They are going to be like a weight on your shoulders. They're going to pull you down. They're going to pull you into sin. God says you must go out. Because everywhere you go, I'm not just picking on India today. Any country is a sinful country. Even in America, it's full of sin, full of sinners. It doesn't matter if you're Assamese or if you're Bihari or if you're Nepali. Your people is a sinful people. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter how many brothers or sisters you have. Whether you have a rich family or a poor family, everything in this world is sinful, is under a curse. It will be destroyed by God. If you try to love this world, you will also perish. You will also die with the world. You have to choose. Do I love the world? Do I love my country? Do I love my family? Do I love money? Do I love the things here, my house, my school? Or do I love God? You must choose. You cannot go both ways. You must go this way or you must go that way. Jesus said there are two roads. One road is very large, very wide. This is the broad path. Many people walk on this path and it goes to destruction. There's a narrow road. Very few people find this road, but it goes to eternal life, to heaven. God came to Abram and said, leave this broad path. Go down this narrow path. I will show you a new land. I will show you a new way, a new life. And God was calling him out of the darkness. And he will call you. The truth is, even our friends, if they are not Christian, if they are not true believers, they will pull us down. Because the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Abraham had to leave everyone behind to follow God. You must even leave your friends. One preacher said this, lost friends, all they will help you do is pick up speed to go to hell. They help you go faster in the wrong direction. They give you encouragement. Like Brandon was sharing a few weeks ago. Bad friends, sinful friends, can make you stumble. They can lead you into sin. God says, you must leave even your closest friends. Even your husband or your wife. Even your son or your daughter. Jesus said, you cannot love them more than me. Anyone who loves his family, who loves his country, who loves his people more than God, more than Jesus Christ, is not worthy of going to heaven or being a disciple of Christ. Abraham knew this, and he obeyed. He had faith, and he left it all. Now, I've talked about family and friends, and I want to talk a little bit about possessions. You must leave even what you own, even the clothes you have, the money you have, even the food that you eat. You cannot hold on to anything of the world. The Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love what is in the world, if you like all of the new clothes, if you love all of the new computers and all of the new motorcycles and all of the new things that are in the world, and you like getting a lot of money at your job, then you cannot follow God. A true follower of God has left everything behind. They've turned their back. All of their house, their possessions, their money, everything is behind them. They will follow God wherever he says. If God says you can keep this, you can keep it. If God says you must leave it, you cannot take it with you. Men love the things of this world, but God is telling us to let them go. And the truth is, all of this will be taken from you one day. If you die, your family is gone. If you die, your house is gone. If you die, your children are gone. If you die, your clothes are gone. If you die, your money is gone. At death, you will lose everything. But God is calling you now, while you are alive, to leave this. One day, you will have no choice. You will be forced to lose everything. But if you will let go of it now, God will give you a new life, a new treasure, a new home, a new family. And any sin in your life, you must leave behind. To become a Christian, you must give up your sin. You cannot say, I like to tell lies and I will become a Christian. No. You cannot say, I like using bad language and I also want to be a Christian. No. You can't say, I like drinking with my friends and going out and partying and I will be a Christian. No. God says every sin you must throw away. If you are going to follow God, you must leave sin, you must leave the world. Now let me talk about idols. Abraham lived in a city with many idols. They worship different gods. And India is full of idols. Idols are everywhere in India. You go in the street, there's idols. You go to the dukan, there's idols. You go on the bus, there's idols. You go in the house, there's idols. You go on the roof, there's idols. You go to the temple, there's idols. You go to the river, there's idols. India is full of idols and statues, pictures of men and women, pictures of animals that they pray to and worship. And this is sin. God does not accept idol worship. God will not accept any prayer prayed to a little statue. Even Catholic people, they worship idols of Mary. They make a statue of Mary and they pray to this. This is idolatry. Many people are worshiping idols. India is full of idols. And so, India needs to learn about Abraham. Abraham is just like a citizen of India. He lived in a land full of idols. But what did God say? Come out. Leave this place. Leave this religion. Because this is not the true way. That is not the true image of God. That picture of the cow, the picture of that elephant, the picture of that fish, the picture of that man or woman, that is not the image of God. That is not who I am. God is saying, leave these things. Now, I want you to think, is India somehow unique, somehow different from the other countries of the world in worshiping idols? No. Every place in the world, men are worshiping idols. Before Jesus Christ came, and before Abraham came, and God called Abraham, that was the only religion that there was. From the very beginning of the earth, men have been making idols and worshiping them. If you go to Africa, they worship idols. The people in the jungle, the people in the villages worship idols in Africa. If you go to America, before they came from Europe, you know what the Native Americans were doing? Worshiping idols. If you go to South America, idols and idols temples. If you go to China, they still worship idols. If you go to Japan, they worship idols. If you go to Thailand, they worship idols. Even in Australia, when the society said they don't worship idols, the missionary J.G. Payton went to the people and he found their idols hidden inside their tents. He knew it was false because everywhere in the world people worship idols. He knew this cannot be true, that people don't worship idols in Australia. And he proved it. He found them. Listen, it doesn't matter if you worship the idols of India or the idols of China or the idols of Africa. It is all the same. It is false. This is not the true God. This is coming from the mind of man, fashioned like a man, like an animal, like a woman. And men will pray to this, and men will bow to this. And this is a sin. And Abraham was called to leave these things. And today, I want to call you to leave them. If you have been following idols, you must leave them. The Bible says this in Psalm 115. Idols have eyes, but they cannot see. They have a nose, but they cannot smell. They have a mouth, but they cannot speak. They have a throat, but they cannot make any sound. They have hands, but they cannot work. They have feet, but they cannot move. You have to carry the idol. And the Bible says, everyone who makes them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. If you make an idol, you will become like an idol. You will lose your life. Your life will have no purpose. Like an idol, not speaking, you will be blind. You will be deaf. Your mind will be confused. Just like a statue. You lose the truth if you make an idol. And you lose the truth if you worship an idol. If people worship idols, God will give them over to confusion. He will remove His grace and give them over to let them do their sin that they want to do. Do not follow idols. This is not the way to know God. Now, many people in India say this. I go to the park or I go on the street and I talk to people and I tell them, I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ saved me. You need Jesus Christ. And they say, that's good. I like that. I believe that. And they say, but this is my parents' religion. Have you ever heard this? This is my parents' religion. I have to follow the way of my parents. Is that true? God told Abraham, leave your father's house. Leave your family. Leave your country. Leave this city. And the same thing is true today. Even if your parents do not know the gospel, even if your parents do not know the Bible, even if your parents do not know Jesus Christ, you must follow Christ. If they are doing a sin, if it's worshiping idols, if it's stealing money, if it's drinking alcohol, if they're doing a sin and you follow them, you will also be guilty. They will be punished and you will be punished. You should not follow your parents if they're doing the wrong thing. Look at Exodus. I want to show you a verse. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus is the next book. Exodus 23, verse 2. You shall not follow the masses, or a multitude, or many people in doing evil. Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. The Bible says this: even if many people are doing the sin, don't follow them. Even if everyone in India is worshiping idols, don't follow them. Even if everyone thinks that you're crazy and everyone thinks that you're foolish, you must do the right thing. You must follow the path of truth. It's not okay to say, yes, I worship idols, but everyone worships idols. Like a lot of young men, a lot of young women, they say, okay, I'm getting boyfriends and girlfriends. I'm pursuing a sexual relationship with these men and women, and I'm not married, but everyone is doing this. Just because many people do a sin does not mean it's okay in God's eyes. Even if you are the only one, you must do what is right. Do not follow your society. Do not follow this world. They will lead you down the wrong path. You must leave these things, even leaving idols. Now I want to think about some of the other things that you must leave. You have to leave family, you have to leave culture, you have to leave idols, but you have to leave money, you have to leave, like I said, these sexual pleasures. Today in our society, it's full of sexual sin. You must leave this. You must not follow this. People are using drugs, drinking alcohol. You must leave these things. People are trying to get famous. They're trying to get rich. All of this is from the devil. You shouldn't try to be a famous rock star, a famous movie star. Leave these things. This is the world's path. And even what's amazing, what's very sad, is that some people, they will hold on to the smallest thing. They would rather have something very small than have God and God's love. They would rather have something like smoking a cigarette. Some people, a little cigarette is more important to them than God. Or they would rather have a certain job. They know the job is a sinful job, but they make good money. They choose something very small. Some people, they will watch movies, and their real joy and their real treasure is watching movies rather than God. They will hold on to a movie rather than follow God. Some people, computer games. When I was a young guy, video games, computer games, this was like an idol in my life. I cared more about a video game than I cared about the living God. Some people, their clothing. Some people, their food. They care more about food than they care about God. And it's very sad, but people will choose something very small over God, who is very big. Whatever is in your life that is of the world, you must throw away. You must leave these things to follow God. Now listen. Why do I say this? Because I know that there is a kind of Christianity that is false. And they will tell you, you can have both. I know there are some churches, some pastors, some Christians that will give you the idea you can be saved, you can follow God, and you can enjoy the world. You can do both. In English we say, you'll have the best of both worlds. Best of this world and best of the heavenly world. The good things here and the good things in heaven. I want to have them both. That is not true Christianity. You must choose one. Do you want this world or do you want heaven? Do you want this earth or do you want God? You must choose, not both. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. I'll read it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. If you find your life, you will die. If you lose your life, you will live. What does this mean? Many people are trying to find a good life, trying to find a happy life here in this earth. This is a big mistake. Abraham was called to leave everything. And Jesus says, if you want to know God, if you want to be saved, you must lose your life. You must die here. Let your life pass away. Let your life die. Be finished with the world. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, I'll never boast in anything except the cross of Christ by which the world was crucified to me and I was crucified to the world. Paul said, I am dead to this world. And that's what happens. When someone becomes a Christian, all of a sudden, all of their hobbies, all of their interests, all of their worldly friends, all of their worldly family, all of the worldly things, God kills. And their friends say, what has happened to you? You are very different. You don't care about these things anymore. They say, no, I have a new purpose now. I found true life. That's the true Christian life, to die to this world. If you lose your life here, you will find it in the next world. Do not pursue an easy life. Do not pursue a happy life on earth. That's a big mistake. We can have peace as Christians. We will have peace in our heart, but we will not have the joys of this world. Young Christian, remember this. If you're a new Christian, if you're wanting to follow Jesus, you cannot have the world. You must follow him and him alone. Do not look for the happiness in this world. Do not look for the joys of the worldly things. They're not for you. You must leave them. Now, there's one more reason I want to tell you why. The main thing I've said so far is leave it because it is sinful. Leave it because God calls you to leave it. But I want to give you another reason why. You should leave the world because these things are empty. These things are vain. They have no purpose. They're temporary. Think of it. The rich people, the rock stars in music, the Bollywood stars, the movies, the actors, even these people, their lives are very sad. And many of them, they kill themselves. They have all the money, they have all the fame, they have all of the world's possessions, but they kill their own life because they're very sad. They have no true joy. The things of the world and worshiping idols, this will not help you. This will not bring you true peace or true joy. These things are not from God. These things are passing away. One time I was in Bangladesh. I was walking down the street. I saw a young guy. He was wearing a t-shirt. And on the picture, on the shirt, there was a face of a man with long hair. And I knew the man's face, Kurt Cobain. He's a famous rock star in America. I came up to that boy. I said, excuse me, do you know this face on your shirt? He said, no, I don't know who it is. He said, do you know this man? He killed himself. And the man was shocked. He didn't know. I said, yes, he was a rock star, but his life had no purpose. He had lots of money, he had lots of drugs, lots of women, but his life had no purpose, and he's dead. And you're wearing him on your t-shirt. It's a very sad life, very sad story. He was shocked. And he said, I started telling him about Jesus Christ. He was listening very well because he realized what a mistake to follow these famous people in the world is a big mistake. Their life is empty. They do not have God. You can be sure the women in the movies that wear very little clothing, that put on lots of makeup, that sing and dance and act in the movies, you can be sure they do not know God. They do not know Him. Do not follow them. Their life is empty. The Bible says it's vain. It's like your eye, always seeing, but never being satisfied. Your ear, always hearing, but never being satisfied. When I was a boy, I'd play video games. On the TV, I'd play video games. And as I played the games, I would make more and more progress. I would get to a higher and higher level. New things, new enemies, new challenges, new difficulties. And in the beginning, I thought this was very fun. But after many hours, you know what I felt? I was very bored. I thought, this is the same thing. Always something new, but there's no purpose. New weapons, new armor, new levels, new treasures, new whatever in the game. But there's no end. There's no purpose. I was not satisfied in my heart. Because the world will not satisfy you. The more you try to drink from the world, the more thirsty you will become. The more you eat from the world's food, the more hungry you will become. This world is vain. It is empty. True life, true joy, true purpose is found only in God. The Bible says it's vain, like grass that springs up and dies away. And then the grass comes back and it dies away. And then new grass and it dies away. Generation after generation, year after year, new people are being born. They live a life and they die. New people, new babies, new people, they die. Generation after generation. This world without God has no purpose. That's why you should leave the world, because it cannot help you. It cannot give you true meaning and purpose. It's like a river. It flows into the ocean, but the ocean never gets full. Year after year, putting lots of water in the ocean, but the ocean never gets full. That is like a man who's trying to take the world and all of its things, but his heart is never satisfied. The Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. Eternity is in our heart. That means that only an infinite God, only an eternal God can satisfy us. This is the reason why you are alive. To know Him, to worship Him, to love Him. Now let me say the last thing. I've talked about the Lord calling. I've talked about Abraham leaving the world. And now I want to talk about the reward, the blessing. Look in verse 1, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." The land which I will show you. This is God's reward. This is the true life, the true land. The true home is somewhere else. God says, I will show you a new land, a new home. And today, I'm saying the same thing for you. If you are not a Christian, if you are not saved, God can give you a new life, a true life, true purpose, true joy. True reward. There is nothing that is better than knowing God. There is nothing that is better than being the friend of God. There is nothing, no reward that's greater than God's reward. Think of it. The Bible says God is love. Do you want love? The Bible says God is love. The love of this world is very dirty, very sinful, very broken. But the love of God is full and perfect. God's reward is the greatest reward because God gives Himself, His love. The Bible says God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. That's what you get if you follow God. The Muslims have it all wrong. They say if you follow God, if you follow Allah and you go to heaven, you'll get lots of women, you'll get lots of good food, you'll get nice big house. They get it all wrong. That is not the reward in heaven. The reward in heaven is being the friend of God. Being the friend of God's Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true reward. It is better to be with God in His house for one day than to have 1,000 days in the world. If you had 1,000 days of vacation, no school, no work, you could go anywhere you want to go, you had all the money, you could buy anything, eat anything, do anything, one day in God's house is better than 1,000 days in the world. He is the God of glory. And He called Abraham, follow me. And Abraham knew, this God is better than everything here in Chaldea. And he left to find the greater reward. Do you remember, Christian, do you remember when you left everything to gain eternal life? Do you remember when you started to see the beauty of Christ and forgiveness of sin and love from God, and you wanted that more than anything? Do you remember when this happened? When in your mind started to change. You didn't care about your friends anymore. You didn't care about all of the world's treasures anymore. Now you were thinking about one thing. I want to be with God. I want to love God. I want to be in heaven. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to have eternal life. I want to have Jesus Christ. That's what happens when someone is saved. God takes away their earthly joys and He gives them heavenly joys. I can remember when I was a young Christian, I was a new Christian, and all I wanted to do was go to the church and sing the songs. I went to the church anytime the church was open. I wanted to be there because I enjoyed God. I didn't enjoy the things of the world anymore. My brother told me, he said, you're no fun anymore. You don't like the things that I like. You've changed. You're different. Because God had changed my heart. He called me like He called Abraham. One more verse. This is the last verse. I'll read it in John chapter 8. Verse 56. John chapter 8, verse 56. Jesus said this, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jesus said, Abraham saw me. Abraham saw my day, and he saw it and he was very glad. The Bible says this, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the God of glory. Jesus Christ is not a normal man. Jesus Christ is not a prophet. Jesus Christ is not a teacher or a guru. Jesus Christ is fully God. He is the creator of the world. And he became a man so that we could know him, so that we could see him. And that's who Abraham saw. That's who Abraham believed. That's why Abraham left everything to go to this new land, because he saw Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was much better than anything else in the world. So I'm not saying just follow God, any God. Choose whatever God you want. You follow him and don't follow the world. That's not true. The Bible says there is one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. To know him is eternal life. Do you want to know God? Where will you find God? You will find him in Jesus. Do you want to know God? You want to have a relationship with God? How can you see God? No man can see God. You will see him in Jesus. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." When you look at Jesus, you are looking at the exact image of God. There's no difference. He is the full image of God. So now I'm finished. And I want to say this. First of all, to anyone in this room who's an unbeliever, who is not saved, who's not a Christian, I want to ask you, have you ever heard God's voice calling you to leave the world? Did you obey him? If you hear him call you to leave sin and leave the world, but you do not obey, you are in rebellion. You are not obeying God. When you hear his voice, you must get up and you must leave. You don't wait. You don't stay in the land. If he calls you, you must go. If you stay, you are in rebellion, in sin. Today, I have called you. I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Today, I am calling you to leave the world. Don't follow the world. Don't follow its people. Don't follow its society. Don't follow its thinking. It's all wrong. It's all sinful in every country, in every place. I am telling you, don't follow it. Follow God. And if you don't listen to me, you are not listening to God. If you go from here and you say, "I don't want to think about this. I want to go back to my life, have a happy life," you have disobeyed God. Because these are not my words. This is God's word. What we read about Abraham applies to you. God called Abraham, but that story is written in the Bible for you, because God wants to call you in the same way. And let me say to those of you that are saved, whatever you do, don't go back. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to the sins in the world. Don't forget, the devil, after you become a Christian, the devil will try to whisper in your ear, "You're missing out. Sin is good. Sin is enjoyable. Sin is fun. Look at this sin. It's very tempting. It looks very nice. You should do it. Look at all these people having an easy life, a nice life. Don't read the Bible. Don't pray. Don't try to run so hard and follow after God." The devil will tempt you to sit down and to make friends with the lost world and to live like a lost person and to try to get the things the lost people are trying to get, the money and the clothes and the little things and the food and all the temptations of sin. Don't go back. Do you remember when you used to sin? I mean, when you used to really sin, when you used to just do whatever you wanted. Do you remember how empty it was? Don't ever forget. Sin will not make you happy. Sin will make your life very sad. Never forget. The devil will try to trick you. But once you leave your country, it's done. I'm never going back there. I'm going to the promised land. It's like in the wilderness. I keep preaching, but I keep thinking of these things. In the wilderness, you remember? The Jews came out of Egypt, and some of them wanted to go back. But the true Jews, the faithful ones, they said, no, there's a promised land of milk and honey. Our God is leading us there. That's my home. Even if this life is very hard, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He is in heaven. And one day, you will be with him. Abraham saw Jesus Christ, and he was very glad. Don't turn back. If your heart starts to get cold, if you start to feel bored with Jesus Christ, pray to God. Say, Lord, something is wrong in my heart. I'm starting to find more joy in these little foolish things on the computer or on the TV or in the market or with lost people. Something is wrong in my heart. Pray to the Lord that he would keep you on the path, on the narrow path. Even if you are a fool in this world and you make it to heaven, it will be worth it. Even if everyone laughs at you, they don't understand. They're following this world and the idols and the false things. Even if everyone laughs at you, even if no one understands why, if you hear his voice, follow him. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray for this group. I pray, Lord, you would bless them. I thank you, Lord, for pulling me out of my sinful life, out of the world. I thank you for killing my joys in the world. Lord, I could have never changed my heart, but you broke those idols. You are the one that did it. Thank you. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has an idol, whether one of the Hindu idols or whether one of the world's joys, I pray you would break it. I pray you would call them powerfully. I pray that they would follow Christ. Lord, you are the best, God. You are the greatest. You are the most fair, the most lovely, the most wonderful. Your Son is so perfect. Oh, Lord, help us to see Jesus Christ and rejoice and be glad and follow him all of our days.